anger. We live in turbulent times. We have lived through the social restrictions of the pandemic. Even within our own church, we have been let down and disappointed by some of the behaviours of those who should know better. In our own lives, things may not have gone the way we planned. Some of us wonder if we will ever get a break from unremitting suffering. Society is becoming increasingly hostile to the Christian way of life. Even simply watching the news on TV can make us feel outraged at the way things are going and tempt us to despair. In the face of all this, it's easy for a sense of frustration to creep in, a growing sense of anger at life, the universe, and everything. And then there are the daily niggles, slights, and altercations that all of us experience from time to time. In fact, there are so many things that can cause us to get angry that it's amazing if we can get through a day without blowing a gasket. But what, as Christians, are we supposed to do with anger? St. Francis de Sales has some very useful advice about how to deal with things that can make us angry. He takes as his model Jesus, who tells us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And this gentleness and meekness is not supposed to be just an external appearance. It's supposed to be a true disposition of the heart. As St. Francis tells us, it is a favourite device of the enemy to make people content with a fair outside semblance of these graces, not examining their inner heart, and some fancying themselves to be gentle and humble, while they are far otherwise. And this is easily perceived, because in spite of their ostentatious gentleness and humility, they are stirred up with pride and anger by the smallest wrong or contradiction. There are many occasions in which we can display anger towards other people, especially if we feel we are being slighted in some way or are the victims of injustice. Is it right then for us to be angry about those things? Is it right for us to stand on our dignity, to demand our rights and to make sure that we are respected? That, unfortunately, is not the Christian way. The Christian way is the way of humility, meekness, and gentleness. As Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So does that mean that we should never correct wrongdoing or resist evil? Again, St. Francis de Sales says this, "Of course, it is a duty to resist evil and to repress the faults of those for whom we are responsible, steadily and firmly, but gently and quietly. Correction given in anger, however tempered by reason, never has so much effect as that which is given altogether without anger." And it's true, even from the point of view of effectiveness, a gentle reproof is much more likely to be received well than a tongue lashing. As the Epistle of James reminds us, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. When Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem in the 9th chapter of Luke's Gospel, he and his disciples are travelling through Samaria. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed on to another village. Jesus refuses to be angry at the Samaritans, refuses to seek retribution for their bad behaviour, and doesn't even take the time to correct them. In other words, he turns the other cheek. But the same gentleness is required when we are trying to control our anger too. If we are harsh with ourselves and start beating ourselves up for being angry, all that does is make us more angry. St. Francis advises us how to control our anger. When you feel its first movements, collect yourself gently and seriously, not hastily or with impetuosity. If you are impetuous in restraining your temper, you will throw your heart into worse confusion than before, and, amid the excitement, you will lose all self-control. There is also a case to be made for, where possible, avoiding things that make us angry. If you ever find yourself undoing your shoelaces as you're watching the nightly news in order to make it easier to throw your boots at the TV, there is a solution to this rather costly predicament. Stop watching the nightly news. Similarly, if we find our anger, frustration or despair stirred up by scrolling through social media posts, there's a ready-made solution to that difficulty too. Limit or completely cut out your exposure to social media. It's one thing to be angry with other people, be angry at the world, or be angry at the television screen. But what about being angry at ourselves? When we look at ourselves, is there a sense of self-loathing that arises? When we discover areas of persistent sin in our lives, is it right to get angry at ourselves? Shouldn't we be filled with indignation and annoyance when we see how much we fall short of the perfection demanded of us by the life of the Spirit? St. Francis would say that giving in to frustration and irritation at ourselves simply stokes our anger and doesn't really bring about any change in our behaviour. In fact, it may even make it more likely for us to fall in the same areas of sin that we were angry about in the first place. As St. Francis says, we can chasten ourselves far better by a quiet, steadfast repentance than by eager, hasty ways of penitence, which, in fact, are proportioned not by the weight of our faults, but according to our feelings and inclinations. And isn't it the case that we flounce and rail against ourselves for sins that are more embarrassing than those that are more morally reprehensible? We can chastise ourselves severely, for example, for minor lapses in purity, while we make light of slandering other people, vanity or selfishness. So if we shouldn't be angry at ourselves when we sin, how should we treat ourselves? We should treat ourselves the way God treats us. When God looks at our sinfulness, he is not angry and he does not condemn us. Remember the incident of the Gospel of John chapter 8, where a woman is dragged before Jesus by the scribes and Pharisees because she has been caught in adultery. Jesus refuses to condemn her and, in fact, refuses to let anyone else condemn her. He simply tells her not to sin again. When God sees our sinfulness, it draws pity from him and compassion about our fallen state because he loves us. That's the attitude we should have when we look at our sin. We shouldn't be angry with ourselves. We should pity ourselves, love ourselves, and resolve calmly but steadfastly not to sin again. This humble attitude is what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to be vexed, angry, and frustrated. Jesus himself is gentle and meek and wants us to emulate him, not just in our outward behaviour, but also in our inner disposition. Let's pray and ask the Lord for this gentle and meek attitude. Jesus, you are meek and humble in heart. Teach us to follow your example. Transform our pride into humility and holiness. Give us the grace to resist the temptation to anger and to instead be gentle with ourselves and others as we make our way onwards on the path to heaven. Amen.